An appeal in behalf of our work in Scandinavia. St. Helena, California, November 19, 1900. I make an appeal to our brethren to whom this letter may come. Our brethren in Europe are brought into a strait place, but because of this, we will not now devote time to criticism and complaints, for criticism and complaints, or censure, will not bring them through the pressure of the strait place. That which is needed now is genuine sympathy and decided help. We will now individually consider that our brethren are in trouble and must be helped just now in this their time of perplexity and distress. As there is a decided sympathy between heaven and earth, and as God sees fit to delegate angels to minister unto all who are in need of help, we know that these heavenly representatives of omnipotent power will be commissioned to help in this time of distress. God will impress men to whom he has entrusted capabilities and talents of means to at this time take on the burden of responsibility and help our Scandinavian brethren that they may save property which otherwise must be sacrificed. This is no time to criticize, but every breath should be devoted to speaking words that shall encourage, and every power to actions that shall lift. I will subscribe my name to give $300, though this might I must borrow and pay interest on. If those who can do more than this will do it, it will be returning to the Lord the mercies and blessings which he has given them. All his gifts are entrusted to us, to be disposed of when he requires his own to help brethren who love the truth and are working for its advancement to recover their standing. Shall we not make a pull, a firm, strong, united pull, helping not selfishly nor grudgingly, but cheerfully and uncomplainingly? One of the employments of the heavenly angels is to visit our world and oversee the work of the Lord, which is in the hands of his stewards. They are to minister in every necessity of God's elect, who are striving to be victorious overcomers, the acknowledged heirs of salvation. These heavenly intelligences are represented as desiring to look into the plan and scheme of redemption, and the angelic host rejoice in the repentance of one soul who is brought to Christ, who by faith takes hold of the personal merits of Christ as his personal Savior. There is joy in heaven when fallen men are so transformed by the grace of God as to become compassionate, touched with human woe. For in loving their fallen brother, as God and Christ love them, they evidence that they are partakers of Christ's attributes. Angels are interested in the spiritual welfare of all who are seeking to restore the moral image of God in man, and the human family are to connect with the heavenly family and bind up the wounds and bruises which sin has made. Angelic agencies are connecting their invisible instrumentalities with visible human agencies, forming a relief association with men. Is there not something stimulating and inspiring in this thought that the human instrumentality confers in its actions the blessings of angelic agencies? This work bears the inscription of the divine, "For ye are laborers together with God." With what joy and delight all heaven looks upon these blended influences, influences which are acknowledged in the heavenly courts. Human agencies are the hands of heavenly instrumentalities. Their acts of unselfish ministry make them partakers in the success which is a result of the relief offered. This is heaven's way of administering saving power. The knowledge and actions of the heavenly order of workers, united with the knowledge and power which are imparted to human agencies, relieves the situation of the oppressed and distressed. Heavenly angels employ human hands to use their God-given talents in practical ministry. The very angels who, when Satan was seeking the supremacy, fought the battle in the heavenly courts and triumphed on the side of God. The very angels who from their exalted position shouted for joy over the creation of our world and over the creation of our first parents, who were to inhabit the earth, and the angels who witnessed the fall of man through Satan's deceptions and his expulsion from his Eden home, are most intensely interested to work in union with the fallen, redeemed race in the development of that power which God gives to help every man who will be united with heavenly intelligences to seek and save human beings who are perishing in their sins. If men will become partakers of the divine nature and separate selfishness from their lives, special talents for helping one another will be granted them. If all will love as Christ has loved, that perishing men may be saved from ruin, oh, what a change would come to our world! I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, Let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. 3, verse 12 to 17. What a representation is this! Can we take it in? I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Verses 18 to 20. Read Haggai chapter 1. It is becoming that all who realize the near coming of the Lord act their faith. We see one of God's instrumentalities languishing, and let those who are heart and soul in the work manifest their interest. If we will be as mind and heart and hands with the heavenly intelligences, we can be worked by them. When human agencies will unitedly take of the Lord's own substance to make up a deficiency that has occurred in the Lord's institutions, that they shall not be left to be extinguished, the Lord will cooperate with them. And the angel that talked with me came again, and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes for the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I, and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me, and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones, that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 1-14. Men are required to receive and to impart from the heavenly agencies. Just as soon as God's institutions close their hearts to the dire necessities of sister institutions, and do not make every effort possible to act their part to relieve them, but selfishly say, Let them suffer, a time will come when they will have to pass through a similar experience of humiliation. But you do not mean to do this, brethren. I know you will not do this. And I turned, and lifted up mine eyes, and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth, and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro to the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, Behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country. Zechariah 6, verse 1-8. The Lord's eyes are open to the working of the whole cause of God. When one of God's instrumentalities, which is engaged in doing his work, shall through some lack of judgment fall into decay, let those institutions which are in a more prosperous condition do to the uttermost of their ability to lift the crippled institution to its feet, that the name of God be not dishonored. We need every facility that is in Europe to stand in a healthy, wholesome condition before an ungodly world. Let not the angels of God who are ministering unto those who bear the responsibilities see the hearts of God's workers made sad. Already the difficulties have increased by delay, so that it will be a greater expense to cure the bruises and wounds of the institution. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobiah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crowns shall be to Helam, and to Tobiah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. verses 9 to 15. In the name of the Lord, we ask His people who have means to arise and realize that God, who is owner of all property which His believing ones possess, shall prove themselves faithful stewards of God. Repair the condition of God's working machinery, that the hearts of God's people shall not be made sad. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, in the fourth day of the ninth month, in Chislin, when they had sent unto the house of God Sharezer and Regem-Melech, and their men, to pray before the Lord, and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself, as I have done these so many years? Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the Lord, and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves, and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in his heart. Zechariah 7, verse 1 to 10. This is the word of the Lord. I cannot think that the closing part of this chapter will be the course that you will pursue. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass, that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Verses 11 to 14. Talk not words of censure. Lay not the blame upon this one or that one. It is a fact that there is now need of the help which all can bring to heal the breach that has been made. Do it cheerfully. Do it nobly. Come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Redeem at once the institution that is in great peril. This can be done if all will take hold and redeem this heavily debt-burdened institution. And in doing this, the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. It can be done, and in the name of the Lord, lay hold of it. Let all work with courage, and with cheerfulness, and with joy. And this very work will prove a great blessing in the experience of all who lay hold upon it and carry it through successfully. There is a great work to be done in Europe. All heaven takes an interest not only in lands that are nigh and that need our help, but in lands that are afar off. All the inhabitants of heaven are in active service, ministering to a fallen world. They take a deep and fervent interest in the salvation of men, the fallen inhabitants of this world. These heavenly beings are watching and waiting for human agencies to be deeply moved over their fellow workmen, who are in perplexity and trial and sorrow and distress. human agencies are called to be hand helpers, to work out the knowledge and use the facilities of heavenly angels. By uniting with these powers that are omnipotent, they will be benefited by their higher education and experience. The Lord's entrusted talents will be efficacious if used to do the work entrusted to God's instrumentalities, that they may stand again in independence. All heaven is watching those instrumentalities that have been as the hand to work out the purposes of God in the earth, thus doing the will and purpose of God in heaven. Such a cooperation will accomplish a work which will give honor and glory and majesty to God. There is a work to be done for souls in foreign countries. Let no hand become slack or palsied when you have the assurance that angels, whose home is in the pavilion of the eternal, in the presence of God, and who see the glory of God, are your helpers. Will you cooperate with them in building up every institution under the supervision of the angelic ministration? Who can understand the value of the human souls for whom their prince, their king, the son of the infinite God, gave his spotless life to a shameful death to save all who should believe on him? If all understood this as they should, what a work would go forth from their hands in most earnest, persevering efforts to go deeper than they have ever gone before. Because through the Holy Spirit's working, they may, with the influence of their voice and their talent of means, lead many souls to escape the chains of darkness and the hellish plottings of Satan, and become washed from their sins in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, let the work go on deeper and still deeper. Angels in heaven rejoice to see sinners repent and turn to the living God. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20.